All right, welcome back to Spill the Tea Unfiltered.
Hey, guys.
Today we have a guest with us. We have Tess. She has the Half Serious podcast. So she is another local person who has a podcast here. And so tell us some about it. Tell us about your podcast.
I don't want to tell too much about it because it's very gritty for those that aren't prepared for the level of stuff that we talk about. But it is our tagline is trauma, grit, and gallows humor, because nobody kind of goes through the stuff without coming out of it with a little bit of gallows humor. Probably too dark for the normal day to day, but it helps us and gets us through.
Yeah, and same. No, I think that's one of the things when we met, like we have that in common. I very much so have gallows humor, and yes. Much to the dismay of a lot of people. I say things that I shouldn't all the time, and I'm constantly laughing at stuff that is so inappropriate to laugh at, but I'm just like, oh, look.
Have you gotten those weird stares yet where they're kind of judging you? Like, oh, I thought it was funny, though.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. But so you've been doing it for about as long as us. When did you start?
Oh, no, I've only 7 months, maybe.
Okay, yeah, because we hit a year April 1st when our first episode dropped.
Oh, congratulations, so, or early congratulations.
Yeah, it's coming. So, it's funny that, like, a mutual friend brought us together, mm-hmm. and so that she had two different people in her life start a podcast, and she was like, you're a badass, and she's a badass, and these badasses need to meet.
But then I'm like, is this just like at the age that I'm in now? Like, everybody at our age is just like, oh, let's start I say our age. I don't know how old you are, but everybody's like,
millennial.
We're going to start a podcast now. Is that just where we're at?
I do think that's where we're at, because I have another friend. He just turned 40 and he just started a podcast last week. So I do think, you know what? Maybe it's partly because we have so much wisdom that needs to be imparted.
Sure. Yeah. That's it.
I'm like, they need to know, like Gen Z needs to know what's coming. We're just living through another historical event. That's mm-hmm. what's happening. And we're all like, you know what? Let's just keep going.
Here we go again.
Let's just keep going.
I think it's because nobody really gives a shit anymore. We're like, hey, listen, this is how it is. And we're going to tell you how it is, because we've lived through it 30,000 times.
Literally. Like, another historical event. Yeah. It just cracks me up every time, because I'm just, people are like, I saw a meme the other day that was like, is this your first world war? Like, welcome. Like, is this your first time here? And it's like a millennial just like drinking out of a wine bottle, because we've been here and we've done this. It was pretty entertaining. So, but on top of doing your podcast, you are a retired lieutenant.
Yes.
With police.
Yes. Retired now for a year and 6 months, something like that.
Which, congrats to you.
Congratulations.
That's awesome. And that's actually one of the reasons, too, that I wanted to have you on, because we've been wanting to have someone on that works in the law enforcement community, mm-hmm. Specifically like local, because laws are different.
Yes.
Yeah. And it all, like, everything just 100% depends on where you live and everything else. So obviously anything you tell us about is going to be local here to the state of Alabama, but probably also goes, you know.
Yeah, they sister up to each other quite a bit, state to state.
Yeah, they do. So I think one of the things I will want to talk about is maybe like some domestic violence situations. Like, can you tell us, I guess, like, just starting out, like, what is actually considered like domestic violence? Like, in the law, like, what does it encompass?
Pretty much anything that's going to include violence with different levels of family. Now, the definition of family, what's considered domestic, has changed over the years. Like, when I started, it was brother, sister, you know, no longer brother, sister. So that part of the law changes. And I don't remember the last time it changed. It'll probably change again. But typically, it, you know, if you're married or dating or stuff, that is solidified as a domestic. So if you guys get into an argument where there's threats or shoving, you know, any kind of assault, anything like that, it's always going to fall under domestic.
Okay. And I heard, because I guess, like, growing up as a woman, I don't know if it's naive to think this, but can you be arrested for defending yourself?
So you can and you can't. That's the great way to say it. A horrible way to say it. Ideally, in an ideal world, when you defend yourself, no, you won't be arrested for it. but we don't live in an ideal world. And unfortunately, a lot of the stuff when law enforcement arrives, it isn't so cut and dry. Like, oh yeah, this is definitely what happened. It's not like the movies or the TVs where it's like, oh, the blood spatter. Okay. In 24 hours, I'll know exactly what happens.
Right.
But the best way to document and to prove that you were defending yourself is to actually be the victim that you are. Cause a lot of times, especially, I think we don't want to be victims of things. We're like, oh no, well, I mean, I was just kind of scared, but he wasn't that scary. Well, no, just say what happened and tell the story. And all of the stuff does come out in the wash. And in my experience, I've never come across one where the victim who we thought was the offender turned out to be the victim after an arrest occurred. There's sometimes we can't tell and there is a dual arrest, but it does come out in the court system. And I have never seen it actually come to fruition where somebody is charged and it's like, okay, no, they were the victim because police officers don't want people to go to jail. That's the victim. So right. They're going to do what they can to figure that out beforehand.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I think that's one thing. It's like, cause obviously we're taught like defend yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's hard. Cause it's like, if you hit me, I want to hit you back.
I'm going to throw hands.
Yeah. Good.
I'm going to do it. Like I'm here. I'm going to admit it. I have, and I will. I'm going to do it. I'm going to throw hands.
And so, you know, I think my ex would be like, oh, don't make me call the police. Like try to threaten it. Be like, if I call the police, you're going to jail too. And stuff like that. And he knew that like I would freak out with my, mm-hmm. like for my job and stuff and be like, oh no, don't. But I think a lot of men won't because they don't want to admit that their girl beat the living God out of them.
Yeah.
But I guess it just comes down to like, if a guy does have like, it's a, he said, she said, because if he does have like scratches on him or like obvious, mm-hmm. like she defended herself, but he says, oh, she did it first, then more than likely they're both going to go.
Usually we can figure out who has defensive wounds and who was the aggressor. And you can usually tell just with body language and who's saying what upon arrival. Because even though to them and to whoever's calling, to them that's a very new circumstance, they've probably been to three more that day before then. So to them it's just a cadence and they can read body language and they can read what somebody's saying and look at the circumstance, the previous calls that we've gotten there, what neighbors say, all that other stuff. So there's a lot of stuff that feeds into it. Not even mentioning the actual investigation portion of it. So if somebody feels like they got to defend them, defend yourself.
Yeah.
You know, let that stuff come. Because if it comes down to it where it's your life or maybe serious injury, freaking defend yourself.
Well, what is that thing that it's better to be judged by 12 than carried by 6?
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
So, yeah. And
I know that there are like ways to be able to tell like if you've been strangled other besides just like like you can look in the eyes and such for that. So I have been told by cops, but like that there are other things that they do look for.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll look at neck injuries and they're, again, that's a way past my comfort zone of like the medical aspect of it, mm-hmm. but they do analyze the neck and stuff like that and kind of see where the damage is.
That makes sense. And that's good that it's not just like a, well, now everybody goes to jail.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying I haven't ever done a dual arrest. It does happen, but typically it's because it does seem 50-50. Like they're going at each other the entire time.
And then they're probably still going at it when you're trying to break them up.
When you're there, they're still like
Velcro
trying to go at each other. Yeah.
Yes. And you're like, hey, hi, police, police here.
This is when you stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that like a pretty sadly common thing that you've dealt with?
Where people won't separate
or just domestics.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But that's a good, once you get old enough, like senior enough in the ranks, people will take the domestics from you because you're so tired of having to answer them. So after a while, the rookies will just take them for you.
Nice.
But yeah, domestics, I say, are most of the calls during the day for the areas of town that I worked in.
I read something the other day because it was like, it was a crazy amount of people that Google searched how to get away with killing my wife. And like, it's one of like the top trending like things to Google. And so like women are constantly like, women are mostly killed by someone they know and a spouse.
Yeah. I mean, that's most of the time you're usually, you know, killed by somebody that you know to some degree.
And 90% of the time it's going to be a man killing a woman, which is why I'm like, you wonder why we don't trust men.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit more violent.
So just defend yourself. Is there anything else like that someone should be doing?
I would say don't wait for the crux of the damage to happen. If you feel it oncoming, like you feel it whelping up like a tidal wave or something like that, go ahead and make a miscellaneous report. So if you call in and say, hey, we had this big argument, I just want to document it. Cool. You've already started that pattern of behavior and you've already documented it through the police departments and stuff like that. That doesn't mean that they have to come out. You can just call and do it over the phone for just a miscellaneous. Not if a crime has occurred, especially being a domestic, they will come. But even then, go ahead and start documenting it, because even if it's something small, that stuff is going to build up.
Mm-hmm.
But people mm-hmm. keep letting things go. They're like, oh, well, I mean, he just hit me once. Like, you know, it's okay. But now that once they get away with it once, so they're going to do it again, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to continually get worse. Nobody just, it doesn't just, and then they kill them. You mm-hmm. know, that's not the way. Oh, I'm not going to say absolutes. Typically, that's not the way that it happens.
Right. It builds itself up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? Like any domestics that got to the point where it's leading to that? Like, is that pretty common, I guess? Like
to, for murder mm-hmm. or, I mean, I've seen a lot of murders, but I'll be honest, I can't.
You're like, they all blend together.
After a while, all the deaths seem to be the same. Because to us, once we get there, it's like, okay, call the, well, at the time, call the investigators, let them process it. But mm-hmm. it does always seem to, other than, you know, drugs, it's going to be family. Because you're always in, and that's where the, it builds up and you're around each other all of the time. So mm-hmm. yes, we've seen a lot of violence. I've seen a lot of, a guy that had slit this girl's throat, and somehow she survived. She was still sitting there gurgling.
Oh, bless her heart.
She survived somehow.
Good for her.
Scared the crap out of me because I didn't think she was still living. But
you were like, oh my God, somebody hold that neck.
She's still alive.
Yes, but she lived. But yeah, and oddly enough, though, and not to go off on left field, the more the domestics that is considered a domestic is actually most of the prostitutes that we have out here. Mm. So a lot of domestics there.
Okay, so that's considered a domestic. That's interesting because I didn't know that.
Well, because what are we to determine a relationship? You know, yeah, like, oh, they're in a relationship. True. So, you know, I mean, because their pimp could be their boyfriend, you know, sure. quote unquote. Yeah. It's just however they want to term it.
Yeah. So I guess that's, so we haven't, I guess, an issue here with that. I guess everywhere does.
Yeah.
Like, I it's just something like you don't normally see. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't really see it like on our streets like I do in like mm-hmm. Vegas.
Or I was just in Florida. I've yeah. seen it a lot.
But I, so I was,
stood on the corner.
Yeah.
I was just doing the work.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like I haven't seen that here. Like, I haven't seen them stand on the corner here.
Honey, because it's you live up the mountain. You're oh. in the mountain.
Oh.
We don't go to the dark side.
Oh, okay.
Well, like Lion King, we don't go over there.
We don't go to them parts. Because I was just in New York City.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, well, and also just naked people, period. The yeah. naked cowboy, the naked grandma, just chilling in Times Square.
Yeah.
Titties out. It was wild.
I mean, just be free at that point. You know? I kind of want to be like that someday. Yeah. Just let it go.
Listen, it's like, what is it, New Hampshire? Live and let live. Listen, you know, we need to get to that point, I guess. But yeah. It just cracked me up because I was just like, oh, I'm not in Alabama anymore. Because mm-hmm. it's definitely a different feel. And I mean, I've been to New York several yeah. times, but I hadn't been in like 10 years. And I just feel like it's gotten way worse. I feel bad for NYPD. Like, I will say that. I was up there and I was like, mm-mm.
Y'all, could not be me.
Y'all mm-hmm. do not get paid enough for this.
No.
Because while I was up there, they had a bomber that was trying to do the next, he wanted to be the next Boston bomber.
Oh, aspirations.
Yeah. Cool. But he didn't even, he was missing something like critical to the bomb.
Chromosome.
And I was laughing so hard because I was just, I mean, again, gallows
yeah,
humor.
Yeah.
So I'm laughing because of this failed attack. But it's because, like, you're so bad at what you're trying to do that you, like, he basically forgot to put in, like, a trigger. Like,
you're like, you've dedicated your life to be this and you.
And you really failed. You really failed at it. But yeah, so it's just, I give it up for law enforcement because none of you get paid enough. And mm-hmm. then you get all the shit constantly, yeah. all the hate. And that's not to say, like, I'm sure being a woman, you probably dealt with your own stuff being a woman in law enforcement. And
yeah.
also, like, it's like any other job. There's always people who are going to be bad. There is going to be bad people. There's bad doctors.
Oh, yeah.
There's bad lawyers. There's
1,000%
bad cops. But when you start grouping them all together, that's when it ends up being an issue.
Yeah, I agree.
It's interesting to hear like your take on that. And I really didn't know that prostitutes were considered domestics.
Oh, yeah. I can't run. And I can't tell you how many we've got. We've got a lot of frequent flyers of prostitutes out there. But there's sometimes they just consider it a job hazard, right? Getting beaten, which sucks.
It's sad. But yeah, that's really shitty.
They don't get worked in this comp.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe those, you know, some of those prostitutes get paid a lot. But
the escorts definitely do.
Yeah.
But
if I didn't have a few morals,
But yeah, it's not predominant. Like, it's not every day, but yeah, I could drive and we could see 5 of them. So it's not, you know,
you're like, I know where they are.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that's like, was crazy from like your time that like, as far as like domestics go or any other, like, is there any, resources for women that they should like look into if they feel like they're in a domestic situation? Cause it's hard for them to leave. Right.
Yes,
yeah. And a lot of times a cop will be the first one that they talk to. And unfortunately, a lot of times it's going to be a guy.
Yeah.
And if you're a woman, a lot of times you're not going to feel safe to talk to them. So like,
yeah,
you know, is it something that like the PD's like thought about, like as far as like maybe sending a woman out if there's a woman available and it's a domestic, or can a victim request a woman, or, you know, do the guys, obviously they have training, but are they prepared to like, you know, offer the woman any kind of resources that are available to her?
Yeah. So we don't, if somebody says, hey, I want a female, we don't, dispatch, you know, is described, like you can't describe somebody and then we'll dispatch that person, just because everybody's kind of trained the same and everybody should be able to do the same things unless it comes to a rape or something like that. And they will try to dispatch a girl sometimes, but it's not absolute also because it's just also who's available.
Yeah.
But also everybody should be aware that I can't speak highly enough of all of the officers that I've worked with. Has everybody got things in their past and stuff that's gone? Yeah. But I've never seen any issues with any domestics and handling and that stuff. But also if for some reason somebody is scared, which I can see if you just got through a domestic or something like that, you'd be scared of a man or whatnot. They've all got cameras on them. They're mic'd up. There's always going to be somebody else over there because they're going to bring backup with them. So there's going to be a lot of layers of people actually watching what's going on, not even counting the cameras and stuff that are on them. So I wouldn't, in all of my years and in other departments and talking with other, I've never seen that occur where there's been something after a domestic where an officer's come and it's been mishandled. Oh, but as resources go, there is a place that we don't even say on the radio where it is because it is considered confidential.
Amazing.
And it's just awesome. For women and kids. So if a woman and her child maybe got into a domestic and they're looking for somewhere safe to go, if this place has availability, they can go there.
Okay.
So there are specific women's and children's shelters that they can go to. And they are amazing.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
When they take them in.
And I'm glad they don't say it. And I'm glad that it's not out there. Knowing.
Like not common knowledge. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's again, not even put out on the radio. And also if somebody is raped, then that also isn't put on the radio and they're taken to this, this place to get examined. And it's very private. You go into a room, there's a certain nurse, a sane nurse that is what she does. She's very professional and it's handled and the officers like aren't there, you know, overwatching everything. It's a medical procedure that a nurse does it. That's what she does. And she's very kind and very gentle and very well versed in everything.
And that's amazing that's an option. And something I feel like people should know, because I think a lot of times women are scared anyway to call in. They're scared to leave. Mm-hmm. They're scared to change their situations for whatever reason, whether it's the children, whether it's the finances, whatever it ends up being. But I think a lot of women are scared because they're like, I don't know what resources are going to be available or that there is going to be a good resource or a safe resource, especially with rape.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people think they're just going to be taken in an ambulance to the hospital.
And and again, it matters what, if there is severe damage or something like that, and there is something else medical that needs to be done. Yes, they might be, but that's also for their own well-being.
Right.
You know? Yeah. But generally speaking, if it's a rape and that's what it is, that's what has occurred and there's nothing else damaged or, you know, like they haven't been beaten or something mm-hmm. like that, then go to the same nurse. And that's a procedure, like your yearly exam pretty much is about the extent of it.
Yeah.
So what would be the process if they needed to get a restraining order? Because I don't think I know kind of what it is, but I don't think a lot of viewers know what they can do to protect themselves.
So restraining order is a pretty dang good option, but you need to get documentation prior to a lot of times. But it's something that county handles. It's not something that city handles.
Okay.
So they'd have to go up to the county courthouse or speak to a deputy because they're the ones that are going to handle the restraining orders. But it is a great option. It's so easy for law enforcement too. So if, you know, you have a restraining order against somebody and then I show up and I see that they're close. Oh, well, easy, he's violating this. Okay, cool. Let me just take him to jail. There's like nothing that law enforcement have to do other than just see, okay, cool. They're violating this. Let's go to jail.
So when you speak about the documents that they need to have, some of those can be like when they contact you mm-hmm. and talk about, you know, the things that are going on, and they can bring that to the county and submit it in for the restraining order.
Yes. So even any miscellaneous reports or any case reports, anything that they've got through the city, through the county, because it's all the same.
What if they haven't reported anything yet, but they have like proof of harassment or something like on like text messaging or like stalking or something like, you know, because a lot of times in the world we live in today, people are like stalked a lot more, like with cyber stalking and stuff. Like, is that enough proof or does it have to be a police report?
People have taken it to them, but that it's a little bit outside of my realm just because we don't deal with restraining orders. I just know that when we typically send them to get a restraining order, that it's a lot easier to not have as much. You don't have to prove as much if you have these cases and these documents already done.
So the burden of proof is pretty much like accepted if they have actual like law enforcement documentation that they reported something.
Yes.
Okay.
Like I know previously when I had the dealings with it, the restraining order was put down and then 2 weeks later there was a court date, and then mm-hmm. that court date we had to provide evidence. Now given like the sheriff's department had came to us and told us we needed one. So it was really easy for us to have one, but they do, I think it's a couple weeks later, they schedule that appointment to finalize the restraining order, but they do like a temporary one.
Yeah, I know that they have the temporary ones, but I just don't, it's not something I'm well versed in because we were so happy to not have to do that. We're like, yes, that's a county. Just take that to the county.
That's their job. Well, and then I'm sure, but then like you said, it's easy though. Then for you to arrest there is a situation where that ends up being the case.
Yeah. Cause I mean, it's a judge has decided this and that's what it is. So mm-hmm. There's no give and take like, oh, let's think about this. Now it's easy. Okay. It's on a piece of paper. You violated it. All right, let's go.
So one of the things we've learned is that you need to document
everything,
everything, including reporting, even mm-hmm. if it's a miscellaneous call.
Yes. Which just means there's not a crime that's occurred. It's just documenting something that has occurred that is on the precipice of a crime or something that scared you enough where you feel like you need to report something.
Okay. And so like just to have a record of that, mm-hmm. because I know a lot of people will say things like, it's just a piece of paper. It won't keep them away, which I mean, is true in that mm-hmm. fact, but whenever it comes to the arrest, that makes it a lot easier for you guys to do your job. If you did go through that process and get that, mm-hmm. then
mm-hmm. it shows a pattern, and it's much easier to prove something if there's a pattern that upholds the belief of, you know, okay, this is the offender. This is what has occurred.
Yeah. Going off of the, cause now we've talked about restraining orders. I'm curious about like warrants. So this may be out of your purview too, but so to be able to get a warrant out for mm-hmm. someone's arrest, because the contempt of court was violated,
mm-hmm.
that person has to be served. Why? Because in my mind, I'm like, but they violated the law. They violated they're in contempt of court.
Yeah.
They know they're in contempt of court.
Mm-hmm.
But for me to be able to legally put a warrant out for their arrest, they have to be served.
Yeah, that is outside of my purview because the extent of my warrants is
arrest them.
Yes. And the extent of me swearing them out is, you know, dope related and stuff like that, or assault related, but not, yeah. That is some convoluted domestic stuff that seems like it's way more complex than it should be.
Yeah, right? It drives me nuts. Well, okay, and then, but going off that, as a officer, if someone was to call you and say, hey, I know where someone is that has a warrant, would an officer look into that?
Is it a misdemeanor or a felony? I mean, we're going to look into it.
Probably. I mean, I guess it would be a misdemeanor because it'd be contempt of court. So I think it'd just be a misdemeanor situation, but a situation nonetheless that would help that person get money.
Then I would, if so, misdemeanors, we have to serve those during certain hours of the day and stuff like that. So if it's midnight or something like that, it's like, okay, well, cool. You know, we'll get to it tomorrow, but typically, and especially if it's a slow night, if it's a misdemeanor and it's midday, you know, within the serving hours, then they'll go up. Especially if they got rookies out there, then they'll go like, hey, go grab
this. So warrants, misdemeanor warrants can only be served during a certain period of time.
So misdemeanors have different restrictions than felonies, just like anything else, because a felony is going to be more serious. Oh, right.
Yeah,
so
that makes sense.
We can serve felonies with a little bit less of a restriction than a lot of the other ones.
See, that's crazy. I didn't even know that, because I would have just assumed a warrant is a warrant is a warrant. Mm-hmm. And yeah. But obviously some warrants are more needed to be found and served than others. But
just like there's some things that we can let go if we absolutely need to. Say, you know, somebody's hemmed up in a hospital and they get a misdemeanor and they're going to be in there for a long freaking time. But it's a misdemeanor that's, you know, what the fourth or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's barely anything. There's no real victim other than, you know, a company. If it's going to tie a guy for 8 hours, hey, just go back on the street. We'll come back and get him. Now, if it's a felony, that we're going to sit there and we're going to deal with it. You know?
We're going to wait on him.
So there's some absolutes in there, but there are some flexibility when it comes to misdemeanors, just because there's also a lot more serious crime out there that they need to go deal with.
Right. Which makes sense. Yeah. You know, every day there's crime every day, all every day, day, every day.
Keep them in business.
So do you have some really crazy stories?
I don't. What kind of crazy story do you want?
I like the funny ones. Like when I was working in another store, I had a naked man running across our parking lot and jumped on a car at the car wash. Like, I like those stories.
Oh man, God, I don't know how off in the deep end you guys want to go though, because I've got some. Take it but, deep. Take it deep. Okay. Okay. Well, I'll retell one story and then I'll tell a different story, because one story I've told before on my podcast, I think. But it's so I'd search a lot of hookers, right? That's kind of like my jam. Not my jam, like, oh, I love this. It's just kind of what I ended up doing because you can flip them and get intel and stuff on them. So I'm searching this one hooker for a narcotics agent at the time, and I'm you know, do a little tap, you know, usually do it. You check it to make sure if it's a tampon or a pad, and you're like, okay, if it's a crack pipe or a bag of something. So I'm grabbing her and I'm like, oh, there's a bag of weed in there. Like, it felt about like an ounce a bag. So I'm grabbing this bag of weed, cause that's about what we think that she has on her. And I'm holding it and I'm like, you know, trying to, cause they usually stuff some of it up in them. So you kind of have to pull it back out a little bit too. So I'm trying to get the rest of the bag out. And at the time I'm like, what is this? You know, cause I always ask them just to see what they're going to say. And she is, those are my elongated pussy lips. And I was like, what? And I didn't believe her. I'm like, okay, whatever. And so I have her show me, because she's going to jail anyway. So I'm like, cause who knows, contraband, you know, I'm thinking it's a bag of weed in there. No, it was, I mean, it was an ounce of something. It was not weed though, but I was tugging on it. Like, she was probably enjoying herself there for a minute. Cause I was like, what is this?
So nice.
So, I love that. Just in there, just yanking on it.
You're just like, these elongated. Just like, I love that. That was her response.
I know. She was a really country hooker. That's a mom. I don't get the pussy lips. I'm like, ma'am.
ma'am, what? Oh, sorry, you're not what? Kidding. Oh, okay.
I did not believe her. I'm like, show me.
You're like, let's see it. Oh.
Yeah, put it away. Oh,
just kidding. I'm at
it. Anymore.
That is really what that is. That is a thing.
Oh, yeah, my God. Yeah, that's so funny. That's amazing.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, there's let's see, as far as like grossness, I don't know. I walked up to a call one time where, I don't know why, there was like a time where I kept on walking up on dead people, like crashes and things. And for a while they're like, you can't, I see dead people. Every time I'd stop or I'd drive around, I'd walk up on somebody that was dead. So I walk up thinking there's this wreck or something like that. And I walk up, and as I'm walking up, I slip and I buzz my ass. I slip in the middle of the interstate or the road, and I slide for probably a good like 12 feet and then bust my ass and roll. And then I'm like, ah, man, everybody saw that, you know? So then I get up and I'm like walking up and I see this car that's wrecked out. And then I realize that it's not a car that's wrecked out. It's this car that has ran over somebody. That's, they're completely decimated. It's somebody that decided to go across the road. And I'm like, oh man. Okay. So then I go back to my road, or to my car, and I realize that I had slipped on a liver. And I just slid down the road on this freaking liver and then just rolled in it. And I'm like, oh, this is great. So then I finally look at myself and I'm just covered in liver or whatever else it was. And I'm like, well, okay. And so I just go back to the precinct, wash off my boots, and carry on with my day.
But, oh my God. Yeah. I can't even imagine.
You slipped on the rip. Yeah.
Full on surfed on
the
mofo.
How do you get, like, I'd be like so scared to get in my car. Like, I don't want to have to clean the upholstery in the car.
There's been so much worse.
So, like, did you like see, I guess, the rest of the liver just chilling there?
Yeah. You know, it wasn't like a footprint, but it was like cut and it like, you know, smushed up.
Something which, that no one else can say that you have surfed on a liver.
Yeah. Yeah. So the car in the ditch, though, was that person still in the car?
So the car had ran over this person, and then that's why they had stopped and like pulled off to the side. So they thought they hit a deer. They're like, oh, deer.
Gallows humor. My first response is like, way to ruin my day by walking in the road. Like, ugh, like this is your fault. Like,
just don't cross big roadways when there's not a crosswalk in the dark.
One of my friends, she's a lieutenant, in another state, and it's like, they call it like death row. Road, like, because it's literally like all people do is cross there it. And they die like God. All the time. And one of her coworkers,
like, they should have a sign.
It was actually
die here.
Yeah, it was one of her sergeants actually hit someone because, again, like, it's just do not cross this road, and everybody just does anyway. And well,
there should be a sign that says you will die right here.
Literally. Every time I go to visit her and we go on that road, I'm like, oh God, is today the day? I'm like, I don't want to deal with this. We have places to go. Yeah, it's awful. And, but also funny. Yeah. See, this is why. So this would be good.
I don't think there's many people who can just say that they were walking across the road and just slipped on a liver.
Yeah.
Bumbled down.
There's fantastic. Probably several cops that can say that. I don't know, but
listen, you know, we need to come on your podcast too, so that we can talk and do some, because I have some stories to tell. So
I just feel like I want to like binge listen to all your stories tonight.
Yeah.
No. Well,
they are funny.
It's a lot of, a lot of friends, and it's not just police and stuff. It goes off into a bunch of other stuff, but yeah, we don't hold back. So hey, you guys come on, just take whatever filter you have on completely and just let it go to the
Yeah, wind. I won't. I don't. I don't. I. It's a rare filter anyway. So, definitely, definitely.
People
will
have to apologize for me all the time.
Yes, man, same. But yeah. Well. So I guess the moral of this story is don't slip on a liver, but also document everything. Yes. Actually report to the police, even if it's just miscellaneous, because that is the best way to protect yourself in a domestic violence situation. If you are being attacked, defend yourself, but if you can, like, refrain from, you know, murder, so that you don't get in trouble.
Do what you can to get yourself out of the situation. Yeah. And in a serious note, if you need to take enough action to defend yourself to be able to remove yourself from that situation.
Yes. Okay, perfect. So try to do that. Because at the end of the day, like, it's not, if you are the one that is being abused, you want to be able to protect yourself, because you also don't want to be the one that also gets arrested. And this is the best way to do that. And then know that there are resources out there. So if you are someone who is being abused reach out to your local departments and talk to them because they do have resources for you.
Yes. And they have a whole domestic violence unit that is way more versed on this than I am, that will be able to give you 1,000 other resources on things.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's great. And we will, we'll tag your podcast, in the subscription below. And then if you're listening to this, and so therefore you're not watching it, Tessa's podcast is the Half Serious Podcast. So she is everywhere you can get your podcast. So, well, thanks for coming on, Tess.
Yeah. Anytime. This is fun. It's nice to know I'm not the only one with the gals humor.
Oh yeah, definitely not. It's great. Amber, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
This episode is proudly brought to you by the law firm Ryan and Rouse. If you or a loved one have been injured or need legal help for changing family circumstances, contact the personal injury and family law attorneys at Ryan and Rouse today at 256-801-1000 or visit them online at www.alabamalaw.com. When your future is on the line, don't go at it alone.